The content of this show is subject to contain sensitive language and explicit content intended for mature audiences only.
Did you hear me
But
singing to myself when you went pee? Because I forgot to mute myself.
I surely did. I sat on my ankle for too long and it hurts.
I am ready, spaghetti.
Kind of hoping that we'd get a nice little end of the world after that, but
But like live, laugh, toaster bath.
I've considered slipping into a bathtub while blow drying my hair.
Delulu is the Salulu.
Back in May, we partnered with an incredibly unique small business called Aware Causes, and that's spelled out AwareCauses, which is also their Instagram handle, to provide our listeners with the largest discount code they have to offer. Their website is www.awarecauses.com. That's www.awarecauses.com. Enter their code NOTALONE30, and that's NOTALONE30 at checkout to receive 30% off your entire purchase. On their website, you can find an assortment of jewelry and apparel that mainly brings awareness to mental health disorders. Also, the company now offers custom engraved necklaces, so check out their website to shop jewelry and apparel with a cause. And again, that's www.awarecauses.com. Enter the discount code NOTALONE30, NOTALONE30 at checkout and receive 30% off your entire purchase. While you're on their website, scroll down to the bottom of their homepage, enter your email to sign up for newsletters to receive updates on new items, different designs that they've custom engraved for other customers, and any new deals they may have to offer. For those of you tuning in to season 2, episode 5 of our podcast, you're welcome. No, really, we're delighted and all that other stuff that I always say. Have you ever had those days where you just sit on a train track for a while, then close your eyes and imagine watching a train come right towards you just to see what it feels like to know that your life might finally be coming to an end?
Respectfully, please up your meds.
Funny you should mention that. Actually, I just called my psychiatrist yesterday to do just that.
Oh.
But in the last episode, I opened up about my life going completely off the rails. Now I realize I could have taken back that control by simply putting myself on some rails and staying there. I would have gotten the real outcome I desired. Mind if you ask me. If you really put that into perspective, I've sat here many times and said that you're capable of doing so much more than your brain convinces you otherwise. Well, our chemically imbalanced brains might still be providing simple solutions on how to regain control. Warning, please consult with a licensed professional that is specialized to provide you the help you require, and absolutely do not take that statement I just made as a considerable solution. I do still have a check engine light on, but I'm working on it.
Personally, I'd rather take my chances and allow you to be my therapist. I think that's a risk I'm willing to take.
I can do a good job sometimes.
20% of the time, I'm going to have a very competent therapist.
If community guidelines and standards didn't exist on all these platforms, I'd have so much fun unraveling the twisted shit that I have to suppress. Tori, you and I intended to shoot this episode a lot earlier than our usual shooting schedule. On a date that we both had time, we had off work, and both of our schedules would have worked out. Just to get it taken care of without the stress of trying to find a time frame that would work for both of us. But that certainly did not work. We are here shooting a week and 2 days later than the initial planned shoot date for this episode. Once again, I am to blame for this. That should be evidently clear in every situation at this point. This time, I do have something to blame my failure on. Since October of 2022, the United States has been experiencing a serious shortage of specific medications used to treat ADHD. I cannot speak on whether or not other countries have been experiencing the same thing, but the shortage was expected to last through the end of 2023 initially. We're 9 months into 2024 and we're still being impacted by this shortage. While the situation overall has significantly improved, there are still many of us, myself included, being impacted by this shortage. Throughout the entirety of the situation, my psychiatrist and her colleagues have stated that they have not been given a solid explanation as to why this has been an ongoing problem for so long. For those of you that have been and or still being impacted by this tremendous and often detrimental situation, I feel for you, and for all of us, I long for this situation to finally level out.
Personally, I don't think that it was all your fault. Our schedules were open for like 3 seconds, and then life was like, oopsies, and like dropped some stuff on us. So I feel like it was like, I don't know, 70-30.
Yeah, we really weren't gonna accomplish it on the date we intended.
No, we were
to,
not.
No matter what, we just.
I'm gonna be honest. Didn't even think we were going to when we initially scheduled that. I was like, yeah, I don't think that.
I was really like, oh, hell yeah, we can do that because wow, that works so great. And then after we got off, I was like, no.
We both lied to ourselves.
Yeah. Tori even sent me a text requesting $20 from me, so I looked at it and thought, so this is what it comes down to, huh? The text wasn't meant for me, of course, and I knew that.
Yeah, so the thing is that I was trying to bribe one of my children to get them to do something, and instead of texting them, I texted you, but I still would have taken that $20. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm. Good thing you accepted Venmo.
I know, I would have.
The month of September is Suicide Prevention Month, and this episode won't air until afterwards. However, still important to highlight, September 10th is World Suicide Prevention Day. Yeah, I do understand the very significant leap I just made from intrusive suicidal thoughts straight to diving into this very serious suicide prevention awareness segment. It's not up for justification when we make it abundantly clear on every platform that we have that we do this on purpose. So just use your basic rating skills, please. To anyone that has attempted suicide and survived, we are thrilled you are a survivor, and we pray that you never find yourself lost in that kind of darkness again. To those of you that have lost a loved one or loved ones to suicide, our hearts lie with you, and we are so sorry for your loss. If you have experienced this loss and hold any sort of guilt, it is not your fault. No matter the circumstance, it is not your fault. If you have been bearing the weight of the loss on your shoulders because you are carrying guilt, please allow yourself to unload that weight and allow yourself grace. In many cases, we often hear from loved ones that have experienced the loss of a loved one or loved ones to suicide, the words, "I never saw this coming," "they seemed completely fine," "they never expressed that they were struggling," "they seemed happy," so on and so forth. This is so common because people choose to suffer in silence for so many reasons. They may not have the energy to explain to anyone what they've battled for so long. They may not feel like they can put their struggles into words that would make sense to anyone. They may feel as though if they do open up, nobody is going to have the right words to say because it's way too common to receive basic responses in return that don't provide any guidance or sense of hope or reason. This reason specifically is why, as a society, it is so important to take the initiative to do your research, to find resources to understand how to react, respond, and provide guidance, even if you specifically are not battling mental health disorders. We need to work harder to make these very important conversations normalized. The more we as a society continue to normalize these conversations, we move in the direction of providing safer spaces for individuals battling mental health disorders to truly express what they are up against every single day. In turn, people will truly feel that they do have people to open up to. All of those things I just listed are very simple steps to aid in suicide prevention. If we don't work harder to educate ourselves by simply using our thumbs to search and click on resources, we will never truly allow individuals that are struggling to survive to actually feel like and believe that they really are not alone. Simply throwing the words, "you are not alone," out there does not fulfill the desired outcome of suicide prevention. And for anyone that is battling or has battled suicidal thoughts, you are a survivor too. You are not weak. You are stronger every single day because you have kept yourself alive. Please understand the kind of strength it takes to keep yourself alive when battling those overwhelming thoughts and feelings that are trying to kill you. Please do not lose the strength because you have no idea what is yet to come for you. Please trust that you will be blessed with so many things that you would have never wanted to miss out on or be a part of. If you feel yourself losing control, I cannot stress this enough. Please utilize the numerous resources that are available free of charge to guide you through the darkness. We know you have fought too damn hard for too damn long to lose your life to your demons. Your life is worth fighting for, even when you cannot find the reasons to keep fighting. During those moments that you feel like you have nothing to keep fighting for, the imbalances in your brain are overwhelming you with thoughts of why you shouldn't and overpowering the reasons why you should. When you make it out alive and regain your sense of control, you will be so happy you kept fighting. The same brain that is trying to kill you is the same brain that is capable of keeping you alive. Do not feel ashamed of seeking help to shift your brain's capacity to keep you alive. Some of us just need those resources to delegate some tasks to that will help regain stability. Under the resources tab on our website, we have numerous direct resources provided for crisis situations and ways to educate yourself, amongst many other resources. As per usual, we've dedicated a significant amount of time to find more direct resource links to continue to provide as much as we possibly can to aid in fulfilling our mission and goals for our audience. Tori, lay it all out for me. What's been happening on your side of the field lately?
Well, I did see a squirrel without a tail has been living in a tree in my yard, but that's about the most exciting thing that I'm bringing to the table today. And normally my life is so hectic that I'm happy that this is the only thing I have to bring to the table, but my girls and I have named him Stubbs, so we occasionally will be sitting in the yard and you'll just hear, "Oh my gosh, mommy, there's Stubbs," and it's just a squirrel without a tail.
You and your girls are very clever when it comes to naming animals. Seriously.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And I'm really glad that that's the only thing that you have to share.
I could share more, but it's all weird.
Well, you know, it just represents who you are, but.
I know.
I think many of those who know me know that my mother is my number one person no matter what. She is everything to me and more. When I have the chance to spend time with her, she provides me with the hope I need in order to allow myself to believe everything is actually going to be okay no matter what I may be struggling with in my own personal life. On Friday, I got to spend the day with her, and she had been struggling with those really intense migraines that she's struggled with now for many years. So she decided she wanted to go get that one piercing done in her ear. I don't remember the specific name of the piercing, but it happens to relieve the frequency of those migraines. We walked into the piercing and tattoo shop so she could get that done. While we were there, one of the workers, showed us that they were offering $20 tattoos that they had prepared for Suicide Prevention Month / Suicide Awareness. No shop charge included, as they would normally charge for any other tattoo, regardless of the tattoo. My mom decided she wanted us to get one done together, and we happened to choose the exact same tattoo and want nearly the exact same placement, though I was not surprised because she is, in fact, my twin flame. The most common suicide awareness tattoos you see today are tattoos that have the semicolon incorporated into the tattoo. If you've never looked into the reason for relating the semicolon to suicide awareness, I did for you. The semicolon in this context represents the continuation of life and embodies the phrase, "Your story isn't over." So that was part of my day with my mom on Friday. On Saturday, my mother, myself, and my sister took the several-hour trip south of us to pick up my niece for her visit with our family for the week. My mom booked a hotel room for us to alleviate the brutality of the round trip to and from the pickup. We got to spend the weekend together. We took my niece to a pumpkin patch, and she had an absolute blast. I had a blast because that time with my family is a reminder of what I am and have been blessed with. Those moments are the very reasons I haven't lost my will to keep fighting. In other news, I didn't bring Eminem up in our last episode, so it's absolutely necessary I do so right now. It was announced that Eminem's song Houdini is nominated for an MTV Music Award. I found this out during this weekend. My sister was present. And I told her, if he does a surprise performance, I am giving up the idea I might ever be able to see him live. And it has been announced. He is, in fact, performing the opening to the MTV Music Awards. I'll be watching it, of course, but also sobbing hysterically at the same damn time.
You know, I genuinely thought that you did bring up Eminem in the last episode, but I think I'm so used to you talking about him that it's weird if you don't, so I just assumed you did. But I really enjoyed that you had this cute little sentimental update, and all I had was a story about a tailless squirrel. And that's just balance, baby. Cannot help that.
Sometimes I have to be the one talking the most, actually quite literally almost all the time. That's but okay. Yeah, like I said last time, I didn't really have anything to share. So this was like a big event in my life.
Yeah, you're welcome. I took that L for you to have something to share, and all I had was the squirrel.
I am because you were. I know you remember the days where technology was nearly irrelevant to our everyday lives, and our generation has experienced technology go from being nearly irrelevant to literally being a necessity in our lives today. When my parents purchased a landline that had the option of having caller ID, it was then I was certain the outcome would lead to world domination by robots. Roughly 5 years from that very year. And that's not even remotely true. My first cell phone was a track phone that my parents bought me near the end of my sixth grade year and would purchase a certain amount of minutes each month. I was in a lot of sports and with functions they were not usually able to attend due to their work schedules, and I needed a way to contact them to pick me up once the events ended. So that is the only reason I was provided a cell phone and very limited minutes. At the time, texting was nearly non-existent. It was also towards the end of my sixth grade year that my parents allowed me to sign up for online instant messaging platforms as well as MySpace, because so many of my friends had already been using these platforms. My father so generously created my email address without my input. He insisted that my email prefix needed to begin with Lil and then my maiden last name, like Lil Wayne, but swap out Wayne with my maiden last name, just to clarify. I so hated it at first, but I came around to it and have actually transferred that same email prefix to some of my current email addresses because now I find it pretty sentimental, just not for my professional emails. I find the irony of the way we used online communication back then to how it's used today as a pretty wild transition. I remember being at school talking to friends and telling them what time I'd be able to be online after school, as if we were making appointments with each other to be available for online communication through instant messaging or MySpace. And we did this with the full intent to communicate back and forth and hold legitimate conversations with each other for the length of each other's availability to be online. We even BRB'd each other if we had to step away from our computers to do something, just to let each other know we'd be back and could continue communicating. Those of us that had the pleasure of existing in the era of MySpace grieve its existence because it truly was the GOAT. I remember being one of those people that refused to let go of MySpace after nearly every single one of my friends switched over to Facebook. It was a tough adjustment that I'm still coping with. My relationship with Mike existed while MySpace was still used. He slid into my DMs for the first time ever on MySpace. Let's not forget the fact that we literally ranked our friends publicly with the top 10 friends list feature. Then we thought we were so bad to the core and bold when we dropped from having a public top 10 down to a top 5. We literally so boldly ranked our friends and stalked each other's profiles religiously to either be delighted with our ranking or if we were being publicly but discreetly told to basically off. This is how we found out who was talking to who, dating who, etc. And then the punch to the gut when you go to somebody's profile and find out you have them listed on as your number one on your friends list, and you're listed on their friends list at number 5 or lower. What desperate sons of bitches we were. God forbid your parents forced you to list them in your top 5, because boy, would that make you look like a goddamn loser. Let it be known that now I'd have my mom listed above number 1. If that were a possibility, Eminem would be listed as my number one under my mother. I'm so glad that we as a society at some point collectively agreed that public back and forth conversation on each other's pages was a stupid and wild concept. Then at some point during our seventh grade year, texting became the most significant form of communication. Almost every single one of my friends were on an unlimited texting data plan, within what felt like seconds of texting becoming the most desirable form of communication. I, however, was restricted to only being able to send 250 text messages a month after my parents decided to upgrade me from a track phone. Eventually, my parents upgraded our plan after torturing me when I was the only one without unlimited texting privileges. When texting became the preferred form of communication, we all literally used texting in the same way we used instant messaging. We would text each other with the intent of holding back and forth conversations through and through. We all thought we were so superior if we were texting multiple people every single day. Now that we've spent some time reminiscing on the past, I'm fast forwarding us back to the present. Instant messaging communication is extinct. In fact, the thought of it is like absolutely appalling. The idea of texting multiple people in one day, even with a significant amount of hours between the texting of more than one person, is simply too damn much for us, because who the hell are you if you have the time for all of that? We ignore nearly all of our DMs on any given platform for extended periods of time. Oh, and God forbid we even so much as think about picking up our phones to call someone. The audacity. Forgive me for saying this, but I happen to be one of what seems to be the very few humans to still exist that would much rather make a quick phone call to somebody to explain something that is so much easier to explain through a phone call than over text message. And if there is a emergency and somebody texts me the bare minimum explanation of the situation and thinks for a second it's not worth clicking that call button so visibly displayed next to my contact information in our text threads to discuss said emergency instead of texting back and forth, I actually lose my shit. That is just a disgrace to your brain if you choose to be so stupid. I also happen to enjoy random phone calls or FaceTimes with my friends to simply catch up, vent, and just help take my mind off shit for a moment. And for that reason, it seems like some people believe I must be some sort of out of control psychopath in today's society. I get it though. People want to enjoy being on their phones in peace, right?
I mean, I have to agree, but I'm also one of those weirdos that if I have to ask you a question or something is happening and I need an answer right now, I'm going to call you. I am not wasting my time texting you. Absolutely not. So I am in the same boat as you. But I do remember the first time I got a MySpace account, and I was 100% not supposed to have one. And when my mother found out, I was in so much trouble. She was very angry, but she was also angry at my sister for helping me make it. But I almost kind of wish that she would have never ungrounded me from that, and that I still didn't have social media to this day, because it is so addicting. Because I too hate messaging people constantly, but I also feel like I have to. It's extremely stressful to feel like people have my constant attention simply because I can receive their message immediately. But then again, my line of work is also very demanding in this aspect as well. If I receive a message after hours, I do feel like I have to respond. I have to respond right away to remain professional. However, I should be able to, and everybody should be able to, not feel guilty when we ignore messages after hours. This is something I'm trying to slowly change about myself, and I'm also trying to understand that they may send you a message after hours, but that doesn't mean they want a response. They may just not have had time to message you until they were done with whatever they were doing. And that is something I'm slowly trying to wrap my mind around. But these boundaries are so very important to myself and others, but to me especially, because I know I've had a phone since I was 14, if not even a little younger. I think I might have been 13. So that's 15 or more years to feel like you are constantly in demand by anybody that can pick up a phone and call your number. And it's just very stressful.
Mm-hmm. I'm delighted by the fact that we've normalized not holding constant back and forth communication of any sort. And I'm not speaking in terms of the professional aspect of it, of course. That's a lot different. Without knowing everyone's exact situation in their personal lives, we can, well, should all agree that there is no need to feel obligated to maintain constant communication without feeling guilty, or on the opposite end of the spectrum, offended by the lack of communication by someone in return. Nobody is that important. Nobody. There's no pause button for life that allows us time to respond to every text or DM that we may receive. There is always going to be at least one person that doesn't understand why you need to do what you do, no matter the situation. I know it's hard to imagine, but there are people that weren't blessed with chemically imbalanced brains. Even some that did receive such a wonderful blessing to their life might still compare their way of managing their mental health to your way and believe what you have to do in order to maintain stability is doing too much, because they're able to manage it in a way they choose to believe they're trying harder than you are. And oh, to be so petty-minded. You know the book I've mentioned a couple times now, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F-Bomb? It's time for a book called How to Grow the F*** Up for Imbeciles.
You know, my husband has a perfectly chemically balanced brain, and I loathe him for it. And sometimes I just wonder how it must feel for him to be God's favorite, because I would love that just once.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm convinced people who don't, you know, struggle, haven't been diagnosed with anything, there's something wrong with them.
There has to be.
Yeah.
There has to be something. That's just not fair. I don't believe it.
Me
That's
either.
A conspiracy theory I'm willing to stick to.
I will be the first to admit I am a bad friend. I am flaky. I am never going to be able to show up for everything, for everyone. The sheer fact that I exist exhausts the absolute shit out of me. And I am actively training myself to stop feeling obligated to explain myself to anyone. I believe that providing explanation allows more room for the assumption that I'm making up excuses. I've taken significant strides to tell my truth when I feel as though I do need to explain my lack of presence or justify my inability to show up or validate my actions. In turn, I've come to the conclusion that it's easier to stop guilting myself into giving an explanation because I know my reasons are valid, and that is all that matters. However, it is hard not to feel guilty for not providing a reason. But the more you force yourself to maintain the boundaries you set in place for yourself to keep your peace and protect your energy, the easier it does become. I have to hibernate after most social functions or anything that drains me of my energy. Sometimes I even have to hibernate after my hibernation. I've learned that there will always be people that will continue to choose to be narrow-minded and make assumptions based solely on their perspective and put zero effort into being more open-minded and consider that there's more to what they think they know.
Honestly, same. I am terrible at being a friend sometimes, and I know I do not respond, or I simply just don't have the time or energy to put into being a friend. And I know that sounds awful, but in order for me to function and take care of myself and my family, I know that I sometimes have to be a quote-unquote bad friend sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And it is so very important to do that and accept that mm-hmm. in today's society. But I may be a bad friend in many ways, but I know I'm a better friend in the ways that matter most. I will always be understanding of anyone's circumstance at any given time. I do not need an apology. I am okay with plans falling through, even if I was extremely excited for said plans. I am okay with not receiving a response. The only people I am ever displeased with when I receive no response are my parents, because who the hell do they think they are? Not responding to me. They brought me into this world, and they sure as hell better believe that means I will forever be required to be their priority, mm-hmm. and I'll never let them forget it. I am open-minded, and I know my perspective is not the full truth and may not even be partially the truth. I am satisfied with the friendships I have where significant time passes before our lives allow us time to catch up. I don't give a flying if I sent you a text and received no response in return, but saw that you were active on a social media platform during that time, unless the circumstance is detrimental. But I am going to call and follow up to that unanswered call with an explanation of the detrimental circumstance. I will always find the time and energy to be there for my friends in the most important ways. I will put forth all effort I have to provide any guidance needed, advice needed, time to vent, and be there during crisis situations.
I have to go back to our parents not answering us, because if my mother does not respond, I will call the police for a welfare check. Who does she think she is? I have such a hard time thinking that I am not the most important shining bright light in her life that I will call the police immediately. But also my children. As a mother, my children better respond lickety split, because I will think you are dead in a ditch or you are somewhere smoking the devil's lettuce with a gang, because I am mentally unstable.
Valid to the highest extent there possibly is, because I think the same thing when my parents don't answer me in the reverse aspect of, like you said, you think they're possibly dead in the ditch. I think, what the hell if I was dead in a ditch?
Yes. Yep.
And you didn't respond, you know, especially my father, because going back to the 250 text messages I was limited to, that was his decision. He didn't want it to take time away from me being academically successful. And now, as an adult, my father is the least responsive to my phone calls, and he will follow up with a text saying, what's up? What's up,
that.
Dad? What's up, Dad? You want to know what's up?
I'm dead.
I'm stranded in the middle of nowhere, and somebody shot me, okay? So you didn't answer, and now I'm going to die.
Yeah. Sorry, you had to pay a $3 ransom, and you couldn't answer your phone because you were too busy, like, feeding your favorite dog a cheeseburger or something. At least that's how my parents would be. But I get it. Parents are hard.
My dad's glued to his phone every single day at any given time, by the way.
Yeah.
Sometimes you will have to accept that getting no response is, in fact, a response and move along. When there is a follow-up conversation down the road, don't even feel the need to acknowledge the previous conversation that was left with no response. Leave it in the past and pretend it never happened. Don't guilt yourself into explaining your situation to anyone for any reason. Just say no, or better yet, do not say anything. Your social battery may have to be replaced with a cheap knockoff brand, because that is all you can invest in. Those people that choose to be upset or not understanding of the things going on with you personally is a choice they make themselves. They are the only ones that need to work on their growth and ability to be open-minded. You cannot change who they choose to be. If anyone close to you is upset with you for situations they don't have enough context to in order to justify their reasoning, and they either choose not to discuss it with you directly but remain upset with you, blatantly ignore you, or disregard any attempts you make to check in with them, hang out with them, etc. If they don't approach you with their problem, there is no problem. It is not worth your time or energy to go out of your way to figure out what their issue is or what they're upset about before they finally speak up about what they are upset about. If they found a reason to be upset with you about something, they need to find a pair of balls and open up the opportunity to work it out in the most appropriate way possible. If they've shown a pattern of not being forthcoming, make it abundantly clear that you are not accountable for their lack of maturity and unwillingness to be upfront with you. Let their actions speak louder to you and decide what you're willing to put up with. If you have somebody close to you that's displayed a pattern of attacking you about a situation they're upset with, through text or whatever you use to communicate back and forth, don't give them a response that allows them the opportunity to disregard what you have to say. Most of the time, that will lead to an argument. Texting is never the best form of communication for all parties to express their feelings in a way that will be heard and understood. Communicating solely through text usually allows the opportunity for all parties involved to keep focusing solely on their reasons for being upset, and in turn, the outcome can result in broken relationships that could have been easily saved otherwise. Clearly communicate that you will not engage in the conversation outside of a face-to-face discussion. Understand that during a discussion, it's important for all parties involved to be understanding of all perspectives and never discredit each other's feelings. The outcome does not have to come down to a mutual agreement, but all parties must understand that a mutual agreement is not necessary in every given situation. Mutual agreement or not, it's still going to be less likely for the outcome to end with broken relationships if face-to-face discussions take place. Sometimes all it takes is just talking it out with reason, respect, and understanding to just move forward. Not everyone's personal growth goes in the same direction or happens at the same time. Some people do deserve patience. People can change for the better. Yes, people can change. I am not proud of the person I've been or actions I've taken throughout the course of my life. Growth is an ongoing process. Nobody is ever going to be completely done growing. Personal growth is an ongoing commitment. Age and personal growth should go hand in hand. Age with mindfulness and continued self-improvement. It is the people who choose to stay stuck in their own ways, in their own world, showing no interest in putting forth the effort to keep growing, that simply do not deserve your time, patience, or energy. It will be evidently clear who's willing to change on a personal level and when they are taking the steps to better themselves. It is up to you to decide who deserves your time, energy, and patience without disturbing your peace. Mark Manson has generously hand-delivered a guide on how to stop giving a about things that don't deserve any of your to give. He's proven that it is possible to simply stop wasting your. If you want people to mind their own goddamn business, you need to be someone that minds your goddamn business in return. It's just as easy to be in someone's corner rooting for them as it is to actively tear down somebody's character. Just be the person you want others to be for you. Just be real. And that concludes my TED Talk for today.
I just love when I get a front seat to your TED Talks. They are my favorite, but I also usually agree with you on every single one of your opinions. We do not owe anyone our time. We are not put on God's green earth to please other people. And I know that's something I'm slowly learning, and I hope that others can learn right along with me and maybe have some sort of realization after listening to this, because our emotional, mental, all of our, even our physical well-being are so much more important than responding to a text right away.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I stated, you know, when I talked about being a bad friend, that I am actively working on holding myself to my boundaries of not feeling obligated. And it is hard not to be a people pleaser. But people have to understand that the effort that you put in to be a people pleaser in every way, shape, and form actually impacts you negatively as a person in the way you represent yourself, because you'll end up acting as an entirely different person to each person you come in contact with, which in turn may not always be a bad thing, because if you just shift your energy to match the energy of others, in a way that's a positive thing, just because it's just about your comfort zone and the energy that the other person has and the vibes that you've got going when you're with them. In that sense, it's not a negative thing, but if you're doing it just to please people and being a different person, it can be represented as though you are fake to people.
And I agree.
I just think and hope that people understand that point, because you just don't want to be fake. And I spent a lot of time trying to be a people pleaser, and I didn't like who I became.
I agree.
If you've survived another day at war with your brain, you are superior, and we're wishing you nothing but peace in your mind, your soul, and another day of surviving until you find your way of living.
And we will see all of you lunatics in 2 weeks on Trigger Warning Podcast. I just don't know how to not talk all the time.